Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rose intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. We've got 1 hour to bring you all the information that you need to know about New York Giants football as they prepare to take on the Atlanta Falcons Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It is the opener of the 2015 season. Everybody's looking forward to it, especially after the Giants started the season 0-1 in Dallas. So we look ahead with only a couple of days to go before the weekend, when, again, the Giants will take the field. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513 is our phone number. Hashtag Giants Chat if you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, and we'll see if we can get to your comments there as well. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. So go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Howard, it has been a marvelous week, like an Indian summer here in New Jersey. Weather couldn't be any better, and of course that brightens hopes for everybody as we approach the weekend against Atlanta.
I don't know, brighten hopes. I like the way you say three, though. I thought that was pretty funny.
Thank you.
I think the Atlanta game is going to be an interesting game. I mean, we got some positives out of the Dallas game. We got some negatives, of course. We got a lot of positives. The defense, although they didn't put a pass rush on, they did a lot of great things in coverage. I was very impressed.
All right, let's go to the injury report. We heard from Coach Coughlin just a short time ago. We know that Victor Cruz will not work today. Odighizuwa will not work today. Daniel Fells will also not work today. John Beeson's going to try to do some stuff on the side with the trainers. They're going to see how he progresses, and that will determine what he's able to do this afternoon and also what he's able to do the rest of the week. In terms of these injuries, Howard, how do you see them affecting the lineup? Remember the other day also, Uwaniyunga, who started at middle linebacker against the Cowboys, yesterday he was limited. He had tweaked, I believe, his knee, and I know the Giants really need him to be out there.
Well, you know, if Beeson's not going to be able to play, I don't know who's going to be behind him to get into the game. They need a linebacker, and he got a lot of experience in the first game, although they were on the field for a lot of plays, so that would help them. I think he might be the most important player out of everybody you mentioned because he needs to be on the field.
Nice interception he was able to pull in off of a deflection, which at least shows he's very alert.
I will take them any way you can get them to get an interception. That's pretty cool to get a Romo interception in your first game. I think that's pretty cool.
All right, so let's talk about what we have coming up this weekend. Besides the game, Howard, it is the anniversary of the Super Bowl 25 champions. Buffalo Bills, wide right, we all know the story. Howard, what are some of the things that may flash back to you when you get to Sunday and you see all these guys?
You know, first off, how old we are, because 25 years is a long time, which is kind of shocking. The other thing will be, you know, we're so constantly reminded of war and what's going on in the world and conflict everywhere. You got to remember, in 1990, we really were just coming to a real conflict for the first time since maybe the Vietnam War.
Desert Storm.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where I was wondering about, like, are people going to get drafted? I had a younger brother, of course, so that was freaking me out. And I'm thinking, like, all these crazy things. Bavaro and I were talking one day and said, man, you know, this is just a game. And he's like, but it's always been just a game. Like, what are you talking about? And hearing Whitney Houston sing the national anthem and people waving the flags, and that kind of really stuck out to me. The game itself, I remember it. The game was fun, but the whole atmosphere of the game kind of really stuck out to me, like what was going on.
The Whitney Houston national anthem is still chilling to this day. I mean,
she won a Grammy for it.
Yeah,
that's
kind of
crazy.
Did. And you know, even on July 4th or Memorial Day or Labor Day, you know, you even hear it on other holidays, mm-hmm. and they always try to use that video clip because that's the one I think that resonates the most with people.
It is one of the biggest American moments for the national anthem by far.
Yeah, and as you say, everybody had the American flags. To me, Howard, I remember talking to Otis Anderson some years ago about this. And one of the things that we both talked about is remembering the chills when they had the military flyover right before the game.
Yes.
You can never forget that.
You can't forget the flyover. You can't forget the enormous amount, because, again, not seeing this as a kid, not being able to travel around the world and everything, the enormous military presence at the stadium.
Oh, boy.
It was, and I'm talking
yeah.
the M16. Now you see it. I go through the subway, going to work. I see guys all the time. Hey, what's up, buddy? And keep going. But back then, you never saw that.
Right.
Like that wasn't an American thing. And it was just.
You guys were playing in a fortress that
day. Yeah, it was some signs of things to come, but it was really crazy.
All right, so before we go on to the phone calls and to talk about the team at hand, mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what your thoughts were when the Bills lined up for that potential game-winning field goal. What were you thinking about? Where were you standing? Who were you standing next to? What did you do when you saw the kick in the air? Did you know he missed it? Take me through that if you can before we move on.
Well, people don't like for me to say this because it's a bad thing to say, I guess. I actually read the scouting report, and I knew that he didn't make very many field goals over 40 yards off of grass. That was the big knock on him. So the whole objective was to keep him outside the 43-yard line of whatever the kick was going to be made. And they did a good job, and they kept him out. So I'm like, okay, well, we got like a 90% chance that he's going to miss this. And I was like all excited, and he kicked the ball. I'm like, oh, okay, he missed it. I'm like, so the scouting report that year really resonated, and I even studied it more from the years to come because of that.
Good stuff. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross, 201-939-4513, with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live up until 1 o'clock Eastern time. Dave, let's go to the phone calls. First caller, you're up on the program. Hello.
Hi, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. I didn't know you were reaching out to me at this point. First of all, I want to say hi to you all, and hope you guys are having a good day. Here's my questions, and then I'll get into more detail. I want to talk about the cap. I want to talk about William Beatty. First of all, let's start with William Beatty. He's about 6 weeks away from coming off the PUP list. What I'd like to know is, you know, if you guys know where he's at. Is he starting to lift weights? Is he, you know, is he getting close? Is he 6 weeks away? Or is he, you know, 10 weeks away?
Oh, that's more of a doctor answer. That's not really an obedient answer because, you know, I don't judge a guy's body or tell him what he's feeling or what he should be feeling. It's more of what he's feeling himself and how well he's coming along. As far as lifting weights, we're not in the weight room. We couldn't, you know, comment on that with any I couldn't comment on that with any clarity. I think he's if you're smart in this day and age, like I was not the brightest player. I played through every injury. No matter what, I played. If you're smarter than that, you take care of your body because you do have kids. You want to be able to play with them. You kind of listen to the doctors, and the doctors can give you great advice. Unlike a common, I don't want to say common person, but a non-athlete,
right.
You go to the doctor. The doctor prescribes something for you. You go through the process, and then you kind of work through it. Athletes aren't like that. Athletes are, hey, here's what you got. Here's what you got to go through, and this is how long it's going to take us to get you back on the field. So when they make that report, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
Beatty himself, I will tell you, just to interrupt for a second, Beatty himself has said to me several times over the last 2 weeks or so, he feels like he's right on schedule and actually a little bit ahead. They originally told him it was going to be about 8 weeks, Howard.
Yeah.
And the PUP list takes you through six. Well, Beatty had told me he thinks he's about 2 weeks ahead of what they thought. That would take him to the six-week mark,
yeah.
And that's strictly him telling me he's feeling good and he thinks he's going to be able to be ready by the end of October. But I can't get into specifics, as Howard said, because we're not in the weight room with him.
I don't know how he feels.
Okay, you know, the reason I asked that question, can you imagine having the first-round pick on the right side and Beatty on the left side? I mean, that may confuse the rookie, but from a running standpoint, that would be devastating.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we wait until Beatty heals and gets on the field before we have to make any lineup changes? I appreciate the phone call, Mike, but let me say this, Howard. It would seem to me, if the line's working pretty well as it is, and if Flowers is really settling in well at left tackle, which he seems to be doing, I'd be more inclined to leave him there.
Well, that, and you have to think about this, and I know people don't really think about this at all, is that if you're playing very well, and it's happened before that, you know, especially position players, not as much with quarterbacks, but position players. If a guy gets in your spot and he's playing well, you can get Wally Pipped pretty easily. And, you know, the whole objective is never to let another guy on the field playing because you want to keep your job. And the moment that you get banged up, dinged up, or whatever, somebody comes in and starts playing well, it's really hard to move them out.
Sure. Sure. So if Beattie proves that he's healthy, maybe he fits in at another spot. That's always possible, too. Yeah, because remember, everybody has to earn their spot every week, Howard.
That's right. And he may be playing, you know, unbeknownst to him, he might be playing right tackle instead of left
Could
tackle.
Happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the easier position to block from a pass standpoint. Maybe tougher in the run game,
right.
But most teams are right-handed when they run the ball.
All right, let's go to Abdul from Minneapolis. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I'm going to try to end on a positive note, but I'm going to start negative.
It's okay.
First of all, when will Jerry Reese's equity of those two Super Bowls run out? I think those Super Bowls were won a lot of Orkacy's guys. And since it's in 2011,
yeah,
and he really hasn't shown anything. You know, for every Odell Beckham, we have, you know, four or five draft busts. You know, and it looks like Reuben Randall and DeMonte Moore are heading towards the plus list right now. I look at this team, and it's glaring that there's pockets of this lack of talent. The linebackers are just not there. Romo looked at the weakest part of our defense, which is the linebackers. And year out, year in and year out, there's no linebackers of talent. You know, across the board, there's mediocre talent. The safeties are mediocre. The offensive line is mediocre. It's all across the board, there's mediocre talent. You know, and I just understand why everyone's like, oh, but he won the two Super Bowls. That was years ago, and most of it wasn't even his player.
So let me do this. Hold on one second. Let me do this for you because I've heard a couple people say stuff like this. And I think it's funny that they say this because when you think about things, think of it this way. First off, you got two Super Bowls in your pocket. Most teams don't have any. So you could pay. You could trade Jerry Jones for Jerry Reese, and then we'll switch to Jerry's. What will you have?
He didn't pick those players.
Because if you scream at me, I'm going to have to cut you off. So here's what you have to remember when you're talking about Jerry Reese. Let's eliminate Jerry Reese from the discussion. From the year I was drafted till today, how many first-round picks were Pro Bowlers? All right, that's been almost 25 years. Mm-hmm. If you went through that list of people, you're not going to find very many Pro Bowlers.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you're heaping all of the Giants' history on Jerry Reese. When, you know, and these guys are my friends, and I'm not beating on them. Gerard Bunch, Thomas Lewis, Dave and Derek Brown, you know, all my buddies that I love to death, they weren't Pro Bowl players. Jones' name? The kid from Oklahoma. Fifth overall.
Right.
Ron Dane.
I know you're talking about.
Okay.
Ron Dane, yeah.
You got.
Remember Eric Moore?
Eric Moore. I'm like, do you want me to keep going on and on and on? I can list players that you can't even remember. Even
Howard, could I'm not name it.
Just hold on. Wait. Hold on. Because what you're doing is you're doing what a typical person does that thinks that if I had a different guy calling the shots, I'd be a better team. Seattle has a good team. Seattle has a great draft selection. Okay? They've been to the Super Bowl twice. They won one. They lost one. They're probably not going to go again for a while. Their teams are going to be broken up after this year.
Okay.
San Francisco went two times or almost got there three times. Their team got broken up. They had a few great drafts. But you have to be bad a long, long, long time to get that great a quality of draft picks. You just have to be. Green Bay does a great job because Green Bay has the best quarterback in the league.
How about Baltimore? The Baltimore always seems like they have a very solid team year in and year
But they have a great baseline of players. You got to remember that they were bad for a while. Once they got a few players, like you know, Ray Lewis was there forever. T Sizzle was there forever. You got cornerstone players that are playing these positions. They're there for Flacco just showed up. He's been there for a while. The tight end was there for a while. You're making it sound like, hey, look, these guys are so bad. We got a lack of talent everywhere. It just doesn't work that way. The league doesn't work that way. Cincinnati Bengals have a great team. They can't get out of the first round of the playoffs. If you want to settle for playoffs and let's draft the best player, let's do that. I would like for you to come in and draft guys and pick the guys and then look at what happens when you get them. Because everybody who shows up, Jamarcus Russell's supposed to be the greatest talent on the planet.
Right.
Nothing happens. And you can't make these guys – you can't make something out of – you get drafted. there's a learning curve. There's a whole lot of different things that happen. And the situation's a situation once you show up.
Abdul, the only thing I'm going to say, we're going to let you go, and thank you so much for the call. The only thing I will say, Howard, is that because of the way the NFL has done business the last 20, 25 years or so, the salary cap and the way things are constructed in this league, they want parity. They want it to be hard for good teams to stay good. They want turnover. That's the way this league does business.
I don't know if they want it. I'm going to say this. They lay out the game plan. Here's what we have. We got the, we're the only group, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. The worst team gets the first pick. There's no lottery. There's no anything. And you get to build your team that way. If you pick a guy, and the guy is all world in college, and then he shows up and he can't play in the NFL level. One of my favorite players, Trent Richardson. This kid was a beast in college.
Right.
Gets to the NFL.
You make a mistake, you pay for it badly in the draft.
You can't force your projection of what you think a person is. I'm a sixth round pick when they had 12 rounds. Middle of the road pick. I paid 13 years. I stopped playing because I got tired of playing. I'm like, I'm done. Like, okay, you can get another surgery and you can probably play another. I'm like, I'm good. Appreciate it. Y'all have a good time. Be good out there. Let's go. Everybody's like, well, I couldn't believe you stopped. I would have made more money playing two or three more years than I made my entire career.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's, I got little babies just born. I want to be able to crawl around and play with them.
I got you.
Some things are more important. But when I listen to people talk about, he hasn't done anything, I'm like, come on, man.
All right. Back to the calls. Armando from Florida, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Armando, what's happening?
Yeah, I just wanted to make one statement and then I'll have two questions. The first statement, as far as like you guys saying about projections on guys, I was looking at the highlights before Odell Beckham got drafted, and he wasn't making these one-handed catches and all these type of catches, so everybody just needs to relax, you know?
Oh, that was his big joke in college, was the one-handed catch.
You know, and I didn't see the big giant play besides all these type of runs that he made. But besides that, I want to talk about the defense on the two-minute defense offense. It's like I don't understand how when we have a two-minute offense, especially on defense, it's I don't see these guys making plays as far as, like, prevent defense. You know, they gave all this time to Romo, and it's just they're playing prevent defense. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand why they don't just play the regular defense that they're normally playing.
All right, let Howard answer your question, and I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Howard, the last 8 minutes, the Giants gave up two touchdown drives of 70-plus yards in that game.
Okay, well, the one drive was given to them by the officials with the DRC.
Pass interference in the end zone. Horrible call.
Bad call. So that right there would have been a field goal, so that eliminates one play.
By the way, those points made a difference.
They made a huge difference. The next one was, like, I'm not making an excuse, but, dude, when you're on the field, you play that many plays, if you don't get any pressure on the quarterback and you can't get a stop, you're going to be tired. And I know that they were – you like to think everything else. You got a kid in the middle and Anga, who's playing a really decent game, getting around, but they figured out, hey, look, spread everybody out. Let's isolate Anga. Let's see if he can cover. And that's what they went to. They tried to go after him again, again, again. You put it on film. I remember playing against a Hall of Fame linebacker, Urlacher. Urlacher was the man. He was a monster. But his rookie year when we played against him, we were like, look, watch where 54 is. Who wants to catch the ball? Like, if you're going to run a route off of that kid, because he is not going to know how to make the play. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. But today, he's our rookie. We got him.
Yeah.
So that kind of things happen. I think people really look at it and think, you know, it's supposed to be more. But if you stay on the field a long time, if you're not getting three and outs somewhere during or short drives, you're not going to be very well towards the end of the day.
Simply put, with weapons that the Falcons have in the passing game, you don't want the Giant defense on the field for over 37 minutes like they were in Dallas. Yeah. That's just not a good idea.
Well, figuring out a way to stop Julio Jones is a monster in itself.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Lawrence from New York, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I just have a few observations. All the injuries that's been going on with the Giants is just ridiculous to me. I'm just don't understand it. And I'm just wondering, is that a product of the new CBA? Or is that just the Giants training staff just being overly protective with these players?
I don't know.
Thank you, Lawrence.
That's a good question. I think that's, you know, it's the players of the day. I don't think it's the staff at all. I think it's the players. I think the players have to decide what injuries I can play through and what I can't play through. I don't think you can. If I tell a guy, hey, look, your knee's banged up. Okay. What is it? Partially MCL, partial ACL, partial PCL, whatever it is. I can put a brace on you. You can play. You just have to go through treatment the whole year. Or you can rest it for 3 weeks. You know, I'll give you the option. Right. And a lot of times guys will take the options of rest. Sometimes a trainer says, you need 3 weeks and you can't play.
Right.
And then that guy, the non-bright guy, will go, but could I play anyway? Like, yeah. And then you play anyway. So it all depends on where you are mentally. And it's not that you trust or distrust the trainers. It's how much you trust your own body. And that's what guys have to think of. Guys are looking for, you know, and this is not just the Giants, it's the league. They're looking at that, okay, I'm projecting how long I can be effective in the league. The longer I'm effective, the more I get paid. So if I start playing with bangs and nicks and bruises that I could just force my way through, then something's wrong with me. I'm not going to get the next check. Case in point, Matt Harvey with the Mets. Everybody's like, he should play. I'm like, $200 million. You got to think your way through that.
And just remember something Howard said a little while ago, too. You're always thinking about that guy who may be playing if you sit out. And what if he steals your job because he starts playing better than maybe you did?
Well, that's not something that a lot of guys think about. A lot of guys, like, we are in a society of everybody gets a trophy. I'm so special. And if you're a player, almost at any sport, you've been taken care of throughout your career. And it's just been because you're the best athlete. You're the guy. Bully for you. And it's strange when you get to a place where everybody's the best guy. When you're the best, when you're the best of those guys, you get big pats on the back.
And you go to Hawaii, that's what you do.
You get some treatment. But if you're not the best of those guys, you're in the pack, as I call it. The pack's a bad place. You can get pushed down, stepped on, pulled over, knocked down, anything in the pack. You have to be able to step outside the pack.
Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today.
I need to get on DraftKings, man. I need to go. Let me see if I can do this right now. Let's try to go to DraftKings.
Just make sure you get advice from Anita first.
I do. I ask her all the time.
That's absolutely. 201-939-4513. Enat from Philadelphia. You're next on the show.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Go Big Blue.
Hi.
Hey, how we doing?
Good. I got a question. When are we getting Victor Cruz back? Because last Sunday game was ridiculous. Parker was just dropping ball. I feel like the offense is not going because we don't have Victor Cruz. So I'm going to take my question off the edge and go Big Blue.
Thank you.
I have no idea. You know, if we get him back in the next couple of weeks, I'd be very, very excited, very happy to get him back. But, you know, calf injuries, that's kind of the new plague of the league. You're getting guys that are tearing their Achilles. Suggs got another Achilles tear. And when these guys get a really weird calf injury, I don't know if trainers and doctors are looking at the Achilles to say that's the next step or what. So, I can't speak for anybody's body.
The only thing I will say about the calf thing, and Tom Coughlin mentioned this last week, he's like, you know what? These things are mysterious. You just never know when they're going to heal right. He's like, look how long we went with Nat Burhe.
Yeah.
From the early part of the offseason, dragging this thing all the way into training camp. He gets on the field, and all of a sudden he's off the field, and then they find this dried blood in his calf, and he's got to have surgery.
Yes.
I mean, these things are just so freaky.
The MRIs, everything that you're doing, trying to predict what you're looking at. The calf injury has not been – like every time there's an epidemic of an injury, there becomes a specialist. Like there is a hip specialist.
And
like
then they eventually get to know how to fix it.
Yeah, they get to know how to fix it. But like when Bo Jackson left the league, he left the league because he had a bad hip. Now there's a hip specialist.
Yeah.
So that hyperextended hip or that hip pointer, that hip, whatever they called it, oh, that's a slight tear. Now we know more.
Now it's a torn labrum like A-Rod had, right?
Yeah, it's torn labrum like A-Rod and Madonna had. Like it's – you learn more about it, but you got to see it first. And a calf injury – how many calf injuries were there before the last 2 years?
I don't remember hearing them.
You guys were tearing their Achilles. Like, well, is that the same thing? Don't know.
Do you know there's actually a website, Howard, that's, I think it's ACLinjuries.com? Seriously, just started this year. And if I'm not mistaken, just the other day I went to look at it, and they listed like 15 starters in the NFL who were out with ACLs this year. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, what they're doing is the league, and I mean, when I say the league, I'm not talking about, you know, NFL front offices. The players got in their collective bargaining agreement, and they bargained away the part of the game that they thought was causing the injuries. Someone needs to do a study, compare before the collective bargaining, go back 10 years,
right,
and look at the number of injuries. Whether it was practice or whatever, look at the number of injuries, look where they were occurring.
And the style of them, too.
And what you're having, was it a knee, was it a shoulder?
Right.
I'm like, since the collective bargaining agreement has happened, this is what I hear. Growing, pec, bicep, calf. You hear that over and over. Growing, pec, bicep, calf. How could those injuries almost not exist before, and now they're prevalent now? So you changed something. What did you change? Is it your workout program? Is it how you're playing and practicing? Like, when we conditioned like crazy, like we would finish practice and run 4 or 5 gassers after practice. No one was getting hamstrings because you were running hard to get, because you had to beat the clock to finish.
Right.
So things that you do to yourself to get – I tell my kids, and people can take this as a mean thing, I might be a mean parent or something. I tell my kids
– You mean
working out is digging your tank, the tank that you're going to draw on for when you play. The deeper you dig your tank, the further you push yourself, the more vast that moment is that you've pushed yourself through. When you get to a game situation, you never reach the bottom of your tank. You're
right.
Never spent, because you've already worked harder in your off season and your training than you will ever have to work playing. So work hard. Don't let anyone outwork you. Work hard to be prepared to play, because playing should be fun.
Good stuff, Howard. Let's go quickly to some of the tweets out here before we go right back to the phone calls. We have somebody here who says, the Giants, Spider Dan 1985, says the Giants never play well when they honor classic players and teams at halftime.
Uh-oh.
He's concerned about a jinx on Sunday against the Falcons.
I don't believe in luck and jinxes. I think the jinx is Julio Jones. If you can't cover him, that'd be a bad jinx. You got to be able to cover Julio.
All right.
Roll Tide on that, by the way.
Ben says, Randall was relatively quiet in Dallas, needs to step up and relieve pressure on slot guys and Odell. You know, Reuben Randall's been battling some knee tendonitis over the summer. I don't know if that was part of his issue the other day, Howard, but he certainly didn't put up a big game.
I think that putting up a big game is the number of looks you get. I don't think putting up a good game, you can be the greatest receiver, run the best routes, you can do everything perfect. But if the quarterback doesn't throw the ball to you, then you didn't have a good game. I used to play in games where I would catch 7 balls. I'd catch 7 balls in one game, and everybody's like, Cross is now an integral part of the offense. I won't see another ball for 4 weeks.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was throwing the ball to me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
That'd be a neat trick.
Yeah, I mean, but that, you know, I wasn't out there trying to summon up or muster up more passes. I'm like, all right, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Let me block, I'll block the guy.
Sure.
You want me to run a decoy? I'll sprint down the field and draw coverage. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Nowadays, it's like, because we're so clued into how many yards you got, how many catches you have, how many everything.
We're too stat conscious because of fantasy football.
Yeah, well, the metrics of how we're going to get paid. Like, you get – when I play – if I played today, I'd make a lot of money. But I'd make a lot more money if I said, well, I'll lay off the block and I'll focus on catching the ball. But if I focus on catching the ball and if I could only catch 40 passes a year – then we look for a guy to catch 50 passes.
Yeah, well.
Well, if I catch 50, they're going to look for a guy to catch 65 passes.
That's why Jimmy Graham wanted to be a receiver in the courts.
So you get – that's all it is. They keep looking for the next thing. So do something that they can't get rid of.
TaylorMade CEO says, why is it that we, the Giants, seem to just move so slow and play so soft and relaxed? I'm not sure I understand his question.
I don't understand his question.
But he certainly had some curiosities there. All right, let's go back
and
to
if
the.
If you are the CEO of TaylorMade, send me some new gear, dude.
let's go back to the calls.
Howard Dre. Cross dash 87. Howard Cross 87 on
Howard
Twitter.
Howard Cross 87, Giants WFAN.
Yeah, hit a brother up, man.
Dre in Atlanta, you are next on the show in Falcons country.
Yeah, you already know. What's going on, Pete? Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, how we doing?
We're doing well. Hey, forget about what happened last week. Happened over. My question is, since there's really no update on Beeson, and Unger might be a little nicked up, what's the progress on Brinkley? Is he? Do you have any update on if he's picking up the scheme and understanding terminology, and how long it will be before he sees the field?
He's been here just about a week. I know the coaching staff is trying to get him coached up as quickly as possible so that if they need him, that he will be able to help and assist. Beeson's going to work with the trainers some today. How much he does, we're not sure. Coach Coughlin didn't know that this morning, so we're waiting to go out on the practice field to see. Unga is going to try to go this week. I mean, right now, it looks as though he's got a better chance to play than not. Now, how limited might he be, that remains to be seen. And again, as far as Brinkley's concerned, Howard, it's been my experience in the past. And again, everybody's different. Every scheme is different.
Yep.
It's been my experience in the past. It usually takes about 2 weeks for a lot of these guys to get familiar.
I can't tell you that.
But there's no way to really tell on an individual basis when he can play.
To come in, to be able to, like, every football is universal, believe it or not. Like, everybody does basically almost the exact same thing. It's just how you... You know,
well, they tell us the language is different.
The language is different, how you blend and mix everything. So an out route's an out route no matter what team you go to.
Right.
You know, cover two is a cover two no matter what team you go to. Like, man under, all of it's the same. It's how you get to it.
Right.
And how, like, from an offensive standpoint, our stuff is always the same. You move a guy over a half of a man, it means you're going to do something. So you have it. The problem is how do you make that fit into the other 10 guys that you're playing with, and especially on defense. On offense, I can figure out the blocking scheme kind of quickly. On defense, you got to be able to go, okay, they call a 4-3 defense. We're going to play a little bit of the under, slide the tackle under here. Here's my responsibility. Somebody goes in motion. I got to know. I got to know how his motion goes when he gets to the center, what that does to the wheel backer, what that does to the sand backer. Is the safety telling me something? Are they going to go from under back to over? That's a lot of stuff to do. And then I got to know, like, all right, now am I responsible for the back in the flat? Or am I responsible for the guy in the middle? Like, am I doubling down on the tight end? It's a lot of – people think that, like, when they're doing this, these guys get caught up really quickly. Football, I tell people, for what they do, if it could translate into every industry – they'd be CEOs everywhere coming out of the league.
And remember, they got to make checks then with the free safety who's dealing with the secondary.
They're checking everything. They're looking at everybody. When they're calling, they got to alert people. Like, okay, this guy bumps out. He's yours. I got this guy.
Now, today, guys are carrying these little tablets with electronic playbooks. But when Howard was playing, now you tell me if I'm not exaggerating, the playbook was like this thick.
No, that's not it.
The
playbook was
this
big.
Was that big? Okay.
It was this big during training camp, and they cut it down to like that.
There you go. See, during the game.
And it was like this big, heavy book we carried around. And the best part was that people don't realize this. We got exams.
Oh, yeah.
We took tons of exams to, like, okay, coach will give you an exam. Okay, you take it. That's good. The next day you come in, he'd have another exam. I'm like, we're in school.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
All right, Trey, what else you got?
One last question, and I'll take this off the air. It seems like Atlanta has a twofold. Either they're going to hit you deep or they're going to kill you with the crossing route. And it seems like we'll probably try to keep everything in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
With our linebacker issues in reference to coverage, how do you think, I take this off the air, what's the best way to cover the crossing pattern? Either the square ends or the slant?
Thanks, Trey.
I'll take it off the air.
The slant is the hardest one to cover, because if a guy beats you off the takeoff, then he got you. You know, the only way to really beat the slant is to have the linebacker sliding into the lane of the passing lane. The crossing pattern is just, you know, how afraid of the player is of the safety. If the guy that's crossing is looking at the safety, that's a problem. The shallow cross is probably the worst play, because you can send him back out around the tackle, cut him across. So if the linebacker has to slide over to get in front and he crosses the linebacker's face, you can't really nudge him or touch him or anything. So then it becomes a foot race.
Well, they get you for that illegal contact thing.
Yeah, because they need you, and they're trying to put you in a foot race at all times. So a player coming across the field, if he's coming across the field, you can just step in front of him and make him have to change his, you know, get in his lane to try to slow him down. You can start running, but you just get in the way. You can be doing jumping jacks. The guy be like, what is he doing? If he's got to run around you, that messes up the pattern. But the guy that gets with you and gets even with you on a crossing route, that's almost impossible to stop.
Darnell from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I just want to let everybody know that it's just week one. Everybody just got to relax a little bit. But I also had a question. Just wanted to see how Jeremy Davis has looked, because in preseason and in the combine, I can tell he has sure hands and won't be dropping a lot of passes.
You're talking to two very big Jeremy Davis fans here. We liked him all preseason, Howard.
Well, we did. I hope that he gets in the game eventually here and get some snaps. It's just hard to fit everybody in. You got to plan the system.
One ball.
I think the Parker thing is that I think fans don't realize, but I think it's been mentioned a few times always since preseason, that one of your best abilities is availability, but that ability won't help you if you can't make plays in critical moments. So he's got a, you know, his only knock is that he'll drop some easy passes from time to time. You just don't want those drops to be in the red zone. So they'll be addressing it, believe me.
All right, appreciate the call, Darnell. Thank you. Joe from Pennsylvania. No, Joe is gone. All right, well, we'll go right back to the tweets and see if we have anything else on Twitter you guys want to hit us up with.
We're scrambling.
Wow, what is going on there? Hello, Ma Bell. 201-939-4513. If you want to give us a try, maybe we can get you in on our phones if we can get them squared away. We have Big Dash 07088 says, miss me with the just week one when we've been complaining since the preseason. Says, can we get to beating Atlanta? What will it take offensively and defensively?
Well, Atlanta is faced with a crisis of knowing who they are. They're really excited about how the game went last week. But remember, their history has been they're a soft team, right? So they won. They did a good job. But it wasn't like they stopped anybody. They didn't, like, shut a team out. They didn't beat them by, like, three or four touchdowns. They just won.
Right.
So physical play is still going to be the question. Can Atlanta handle physical play? And the Giants got to figure out how to play physical against them. That's, you know, I don't know why that's their history, but I don't know why that's been the whole thing. Physical play kind of beats them into submission, sort of.
One thing you want to take note of, and I'm not going to pull up the numbers and bore you with stats, but Matt Ryan has never been the kind of quarterback he's been in the dome at home in Atlanta. His numbers prove it out. He has not been the same guy.
That's the case if people are around his feet and hitting him. If he's having a 7-on-7 session.
Well, now, any quarterback can kind of throw it if he's got a million years back there. But certainly he likes the comfort of being home and in that dome. Mm-hmm. We got a guy here who says, let's see here. If Cruz, this is Easy, who says, if Cruz isn't ready to go by week four, is it safe to put him on IR with the designation to return so our young receivers can get snaps?
I don't know if you can do that late. If you do it that late, that would put him out to week 10 or so before he could get back.
And
that
that's not good.
That would be not the, you know, I'd have to figure out, like, they need to do, again, not medical, I don't know, but MRIs, everything, tests to see where he is. I can't tell you where he is or why he's even feeling the pain.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that would be kind of risky business. We have here Joe Benzola says, Howard, you have to get open to have the ball thrown your way. He says, watch the film and see how much he was open. I don't know which player he's talking about.
I'm assuming he's talking about Reuben Randall.
Okay.
Yeah, so again, I you can watch the tape and tell me he's open, but if Eli drops back and that's not the play that's called.
Or if he's hurried and that's no time to throw it to him.
Well, those two things, but I'm of the firm belief that, you know, I was open a lot in my career. You know, I don't think I was the greatest receiver on the planet, but if the play wasn't designed to go to me, it just didn't go to me. I mean, that's just part of the game. You run every route like you're going to get the ball.
Joe also wants to mention LT played with a fractured leg. Carl Banks played with a cast on a broken hand. These players, they were players with fire. Where are they now? Jetty, how about this one? Says, Giants, say good day to the fans in Australia.
Hey, good day. Good day. That's pretty funny.
201-939-4513. Can we go back to the phones, Dave? We got them all squared away. And is this Joe from Pennsylvania? Hello.
Hi there, Paul. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi, Joe.
I got one for you for the defense and one with the offense there. In that final two-minute drill, I didn't think Romo did anything special there. It was mostly drop off to the running backs, and that's where I was wondering there where you were in that prevent if we could have brought a safety in or another cornerback to match up with that with them running backs there.
Joe, you know what's interesting? And Howard and I talked about this right after the game. They nickel to dive the Giants down the field with those checkdowns, those little dump-offs. Randall, the little back out of the backfield for the Cowboys, did a masterful job of catching the ball and getting yards after the catch with his speed and quickness because there was too much room there in the middle of the field, and he was able to move.
I think what happened there at the end of the game, I think they played again, they picked on Unga. And it's like the dump-off, but, you know, Unga's trying to make sure that he doesn't get beat deep. That's why he's backing up.
Excuse me, but this is where I'm saying, wouldn't it have been better with a defensive back or a safety in there? Let him run the ball. I'll take my chances on that.
Yeah, but if you run the ball and you put a gash in and you go down the field 20 yards, it's just as bad if you get a –
I'll take my chance. He was getting beat because
I know,
if they
pass
the ball, I think he can match up better with a running back, a defensive back, or a corner, or a safety.
Remember, 10 or 12-yard runs are just the same as 10 or 12-yard passes.
Right.
They equal. It's like playing basketball. I can dunk it or I can shoot a 12-footer. It still counts as two.
Yeah.
All right. I still think it was going on after the first two or three. I would have called timeout and did that. And especially
Joe, I got a better idea for you. How about somebody on the defensive line get to Romo or maybe even knock a pass down? How about they knock a pass down at the line of scrimmage?
Give the Cowboys offensive line credit, too. I agree.
They did a good job.
One other thing there with the defense there. Dez Bryant was out. So the next player we definitely want to stop, who do you want to stop? Everybody knows who it is, the tight end. I was very upset with just a little brush. I would have mugged him. He would have never got off the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? I would have really hit him. If we got a penalty, we got a penalty. But it was just too simple. A little brush, and he just ran out the size of him. That's another one. I would have had a guy on him, too. That's all. That's on the defense. Now with the offense there, there's a lot of complaining with the receivers. I did see this, and I'm upset. And you hear, well, we should have kept James Jones. And Preston Parker had a bad game. But the receivers, if they're not getting open, I'm not sure of that. What's happening there? Washington, that was a strength of ours. Washington got hurt or got cut. We left Jones go because he was a veteran. So that's all I'm saying there. And if they don't get open here, what I think, the offensive line's coming together. We got the running backs. Let's go just with the two tight ends. Let's block it and run it. Beckham's, they're taking him out of the game. I'm going to go get myself a track star or something, put him on that other side, and let him go down the field there. Then maybe they'll have to bring the other safety over there to play that on.
Homer Jones retired several decades ago.
Well, that's what I'd like. I'll go and look for it. If the other receivers ain't getting open, Paul or so, I'll take my chances there, too. Let him run.
I got you, Joe.
Down, come back or so, just to play him honest. Then maybe they'll have to play Beckham a little honest, and it'll open up the running game, too.
Joe, I hear you. We appreciate the phone call. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
That's pretty good. He's trying to figure out it. I think, you know, Eli he's going to go back and review the tape. He's already done that. He'll see how much time he had and how much time he has to review the field. He'll watch the tape of the Falcons, and he'll notice that, you know, where the pressure comes from, who's their big-time players. They're trying to run the Seattle defense without the Seattle personnel in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's going to help Eli out a lot. Once he figures out that he has more time, he'll be able to step into some more throws, and there'll be a lot more catches. And Preston Parker may get a couple balls, but, you know, quarterback, unless the Giants have a comfortable lead, Preston may be a little quiet in this next week.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Mark from Maryland, you're next on the show.
Hey, Paul. Hey, how are you doing?
Very good.
Hey, I got a question. You know, I'm a diehard Giants fan. And one thing, when I saw the game, I noticed that our receiving corps wasn't that good. And Odell Beckham, they doubled him up a lot. And one wide receiver can't win, won't be able to put up the points that we need.
Okay.
And the other thing is that, what do you see as far as a season as far as record-wise. So are we going to go back to being like the same way it was last year?
All right, Mark, we appreciate the phone call. As far as the record, there's too much to be determined to be making any predictions on the record. For health is one thing for sure, and again, too many other things to consider, so we're not going to go there. But I will mention one thing to you, Howard. After catching 63 balls last year, Larry Donnell was certainly quiet the other night in Dallas. Does he need to be a bigger part of this passing game while Cruz is on the shelf?
I think that the other tight end, Fells, had a lot of catches.
He had three or four.
Yeah, he had four catches. So, like, the tight end was involved in the game. It doesn't matter what the jersey number is. If you have a guy catching four or five passes, getting, and most of those were for first downs, that makes a big difference in the game.
He is more of a shorter threat, though, than Donnell's a little more vertical. You would agree?
Yeah, a little bit more vertical. But, again, four. I think the tight ends had five or six catches in the game total. So that right there is six catches that happened in the game. I think Reuben Randall, they're going to look at him a little bit more coming in the coming weeks, trying to get him the ball. I think they're going to have to figure out the dynamic duo on the edges. Victor Cruz will be on the edge a little bit. He'll be in the slot a little bit. So will ODB. But he'll be running. I think he's going to be in motion a lot more. I don't think he's going to be a stagnant receiver.
Right.
I think they're going to be moving him to get him into position. And, you know, you got the receiver from Dallas that's the return guy. You maybe have to get him in the game as well.
Wayne Harris,
yeah,
who my understanding is they do expect to try to get him a little more involved
in
the offense.
Just, there's a lot of options. It's just finding the right combination and not panicking and trying to go away from the plan. You got to have a plan in place. You got to follow the plan. You got to be part of the progress, you know, the process. The process has to be there. If you get away from it, if you jump on these calls and let callers and let the fans and let – you know, moderators and all these different people talk about you, and then you start doing what they say, you will have a seat beside them. So do not jump off of the process of the plan, because unless you want to sit in the stands, don't really react too much to the stands. Just keep playing, keep your process, and get things going.
All right. Is it Dion L? Is that, Dave, what you've typed up for me? Dion L in Washington Heights. Still wants to talk about the Dallas game. I wish you'd talk about Atlanta, but go ahead, make your comment. Thanks.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm on to Atlanta, but there's a couple things I wanted to say. First, Larry. I like Larry Donnell, but he had one catch where he, like, fumbled it out of bounds or something and then, like, laid on the ground for, like, 5 seconds.
It probably hurt his back, if you think about the way he fell. It probably hurt his back.
Right.
But he dropped the ball again. That's enough of that, bro.
Wait. I want you to explain to me the rule, because, see, you may know more about football than I do, because I am very confused about this rule. Can the ground cause a fumble?
Yes. You got to hold on all the way through the ground.
So the ground can cause a fumble.
Yes.
Because Larry Donnell made a football move, his butt hit, his back hit, and then a guy punched the ball out after he's down. So that's not a fumble.
If Larry Donnell would have had maybe like one drop pass last year.
But that has nothing to do with the play. See, your mind is Larry Donnell is the same guy as last year. You're not looking at the facts. He caught the ball. He hit the ground. He almost fell flat, even flatter. The guy punched the ball. It's like if I'm rolling around on the ground, you touching my leg, and then you come up and slap the ball out of my hands. Oh, this is incomplete. That's not what happened. He completed the catch to the ground, and the guy pushed the ball out. And was like, that's, you know, I'm like, okay. So, again, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. The officiating crew in this particular group, nice guys, and I know a lot of them, which I feel bad about. But that was another one of those calls where you got to go, like, it wasn't a Dez Bryant play where Dez was falling and the ball was coming out. This is a guy got the ball clutched in his chest. His butt hit, his back hits, and then the guy punches the ball.
Thank you for your call, by the way. And Howard and I actually talked about this when the play happened, and I looked at it and I said, Howard, gee, and the question then became, as we were told by the officials before the season, how you have to complete the full action of the play with the possession all the way through.
Then they need to take out the rule in the book. They got to take the rule out of the book that the ground can't cause a fumble.
Yeah,
they got to get rid of it totally and say the new rule is we want a completed catch. You need to catch the ball, roll around, and hand it to the official.
Yeah, right.
That's a catch, because that's the new rule in the league. They started that last year, It got a little more prevalent, got a little more speed. But Larry Donnell's catch was a catch. It literally was a catch. I mean, he couldn't put more body parts on the ground.
You know what boggles my mind, Howard, even more so than that? A guy who makes a sideline catch, like Amani Toomer was the best tippy-toe sideline guy I ever saw.
Half of those would be gone now.
Okay? Because what would happen is, right, you make the sideline catch, possession, 2 feet in, pushed out of bounds, and now maybe a step or two out of bounds, he falls down and the ball comes out, and they guess what?
He's rolling around because he's about to celebrate and flips
the
ball.
No good. So incomplete. It's just ridiculous. Didn't keep possession through the whole course of the play.
This all started when Calvin Johnson caught a ball, ran into the end zone,
right.
Ball in his hand. He's going down with the ball in his hand.
Right.
He touches the ground, and the ball comes out. He's three steps in the end zone. The official goes,
incredible.
No catch. You got to complete the catch to the ground. So it's just the rules are changing in a way that I'm not really sure where that rule's going.
Roman Obit's working in the NFL offices. Can we go get him on the phone and fix this?
Call Charlie Way. He's over there, too.
All right. That's true. Hey, fans, remember Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We got time for a couple of more callers. Matt from Rochester, you're on the show. Hello. Hello, Matt. Matt, are you there? Dave, nope. We got Matt? We
hey,
do.
Paul, can you hear me?
There you are. Hello.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you.
Go Big Blue. I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think is the most essential position battle that the Giants have to win on Sunday to give us a realistic chance to beat the Falcons?
D-line.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's real simple, D-line. D-line's going to shut the run down and have some pressure on Matty Ice back there. They got to get some pressure on him. Julio Jones is Julio Jones. I don't care if you bring all the best cornerbacks in the league together.
He'll get his.
Put him on. You can put Sherman out there. You can get the guy from Cleveland out there. You can go get the island and bring it out there, too. Julio Jones, too, won't get the ball. He's just one of those dynamic, big, tall guys that, you know, he runs good routes. He works real hard, and he catches the ball. Now, as for the other guys, you can slow all of them down, but you got to worry about that guy. The way to slow him down is have the D-line putting pressure on Matty Ice. The only thing I can hope for is a windy, rainy day. Because if it is, we got a good shot. but you got to, like, you really got to put pressure on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's looking at tape, and he's got, like, 5 seconds for that pass, 4 seconds for that pass. And for 5 seconds, Julio can run 60 yards. So you got to. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, you don't want him planting his feet, that's for sure. John from New York, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I've been a Giant fan since the late 1940s, and you can probably surmise my age. I was hoping this was going to be a good year, and this is the most devastating loss that I've seen the Giants during that period of time.
Come on now. I hate to tell you, but there have been a few others.
I understand.
Yeah,
no, I understand
there were a couple of playoff losses, quite frankly, too, that had more on the line than a regular season game.
I wasn't going to say anything. I'm still seeing Flipper Anderson run through the tunnel.
Yeah.
I have nightmares about
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Well, let me get really to the point. There's no sense in beating a dead horse about Manning and our coach. But it was the most even somebody who's coaching grammar school football wouldn't have made that mistake. But let me get on. Let's talk about three aspects. First of all, the offense. It was my understanding that Mr. McAdoo was brought in here to install a West Coast offense, which is supposed to allow the quarterback to have a little bit more time to throw the ball. And the catches are going to be relatively short, 3, 4, 5 yards with a chance to run. Is that correct?
No, that's incorrect.
What is correct then?
Just hold on. A West Coast offense is designed to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand faster with short routes. It's much, much shorter time passes. No one's running down the field. The crossing patterns are supposed to be able to be hit on an earlier path, and the receivers basically are going to do most of the work because they have the ball in their hands faster, and the quarterback's supposed to be upright for most of the game.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's what I really meant to say.
Okay.
It's a short passing game, good for 3, 4, 5 yards with a chance to run. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Well, what's happening?
We should have seen some of this in the game. We don't. Do we have now another problem brewing with the offensive coordinator?
I think you had a lot of short passes in the game.
Is incapable of putting together the offense so we can get what we're supposed to get out of it? I think a lot of that.
Most of the game was short passes. Nobody caught a ball. Really, there was a couple passes thrown down the field to keep the defense honest, but most of the passes were under 10 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, most of the passes were under 10 yards. Well, just okay, because the guy just, made the catch and he got
let's switch to
he got catch and
Parker.
Got 12 or 13 yards, then that does something else.
Sure.
Yeah. I heard that the reason they kept Preston Parker was because they needed a guy for special teams. Mm-hmm. My thought was, do you need a guy to catch the football or special teams? And you could have put somebody else on special teams. They had no business keeping that guy.
So let me ask you a question.
He's one of the guys that lost the game.
No, just hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you were going into the season, who do you think your receivers are going to be?
Well, certainly Cruz. Okay.
Ruben Randall, Beckham, and Randall.
All three of those.
You had your three receivers set. Preston Parker.
Okay.
Hold on. Slow down. You have to understand you have your three receivers set. You have the guys you're paying money to be your three big-time receivers. Preston Parker is the off guy who was going to get in the game. He's like next man up if there's an emergency. If you keep Jones, you lose a part of your team that you need a lot more of. Now, Jones had a good game with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers puts the ball in your ear hole, in your face mask, in your back pocket, in your shirt pocket. That's Aaron Rodgers' game. Jones is used to that style of offense. If he was as dynamic as everyone believes that he is, he would have played a longer time at Oakland. But he's not that guy that he's a guy that if you put it on him, he'll catch it. But if you don't put it on him, he won't catch it. So everybody's looking at he had five or six catches, two touchdowns. He's the man. But, you know, when he was playing in the preseason, he was unmotivated, some people say, because he wasn't playing with the first teamers. That's a personality flaw. That's not – if you want to play hard and show that you're supposed to be out there. So now he's not here, and then you get the guy up that is not intended to play, but he's playing. No excuse. He's got to make the plays. But that's not the receiver that Eli's – in general, that's not how it was ever designed to throw the Parker down the field.
Here's what you have to remember, too, and Howard and I addressed this earlier in the show. You earn your snaps, and you earn your keep. Preston Parker had a rough game. That means guys like Dwayne Harris and Jeremy Davis, they're knocking on the door. And if Preston Parker cannot earn his keep and does continue to struggle, those other guys will get a chance.
He'll be relegated to the special teams.
It's that simple.
Solely to the special teams, and he'll have to deal with that. Guys make good money playing on special teams.
Sure they do. And then if Harris and or Davis start making plays, you know what? They're going to get balls thrown at them.
They're going to get balls thrown at them, and all of a sudden you're going to see some guys who have been banged up getting healthier because no one likes to watch guys that you want to win. You're all in this together. We're all good teammates. But I really want to be catching the ball myself. So that's what they're going to be thinking.
All right, let's get to one or two more of the Twitter comments here before we finally sign out, Howard. We'll shut down the phones for the moment. Again, 201-939-4513 if you'd like to call tomorrow.
And thanks for all the calls, by the way.
Absolutely. We have a lot of fun talking to the folks. Let's see here. We have a gentleman actually with his log on. We're on to Atlanta. That's actually his log on.
I like that.
Okay. Why do people that watch the show want the hosts to bash the organization? He says that they could find that on NFL Network if you want to.
It's easy because remember this. That everybody, there are so many. Look at where we're sitting. We're sitting on the web talking.
Right.
There are so many, you know, avenues to get your opinion out when you're sitting around and thinking about it. Hey, man, I'd love to talk. I used to drive into work and listen to the shows, whether it was it Francesa and Mad Dog, and listen to people call in. They would just go nuts. And I was thinking, who does that? And now that I'm on, you know, different platforms of media, I can see who does that. Everybody wants to have their opinion heard. I'm on the elevator going to work because I'm going up to work,
yep,
suit and tie. I'm listening to guys discuss the games of the weekend and what they feel should have happened. When, you know, it's, you know, you get these experts on TV who aren't in locker rooms, and I've been one of them, saying what should happen. I don't know what should happen. I don't know the plays, but I can tell you what I think should happen. So I'm the expert, so you should listen to me.
I give you one final tweet here, Howard. It comes from Anthony Phoenix, who has a Mets logo as his little insignia on the Twitter. He says, last year we had a great game versus the Falcons. Jennings ran all over them. As I recall, it was 150 yards, I believe.
I think that was Houston, Texas.
Oh, that was Houston. That's correct.
That's right.
That's correct. Good call, Howard.
That was my bad.
Yep. But bottom line is, the Giants would like to get that running game going a little bit better.
I think they'll have a decent time running the ball. I think that the teams are going to be looking at Flowers and thinking to themselves, like, he's doing okay in the pass game, but he is really crushing guys in the run game.
He's strong.
He's a big person.
Oh, wow.
Big person with a good mind, because he didn't swing back when he got hit, got his helmet knocked off and punched. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams are going to have to start loading up that left side as opposed to loading up the right side to prevent the run.
And, of course, Justin Pugh is working some combo blocks with him. They seem to really be coming along.
They have good – Justin Pugh has some of the best feet I've seen as an offensive lineman. He really is moving them well. People don't realize that when they're watching, because you're just watching whether he gets the block or not. His feet move really well. He's
Howard, I'm so glad you said that, because as we sign off, I just want you to fortify the fact that many of us, myself included, but I know the Giants people in the personnel department, felt that Justin Pugh would be a better guard than a tackle because of his feet.
He has great feet. You have to be able to move your feet. We talked with kids constantly about constantly moving your feet and being able to shift and adjust and turn and not just taking these lumbering, heavy, powerful steps that you think you're taking. But when your foot's in the air, somebody's taking two steps to pass you. Pugh's feet are moving.
Yeah.
He's getting himself in position.
Exactly.
He's sliding over. He's sliding back.
Uses leverage very well, too.
And he's moving quickly. And that's something, you know, people should video his feet. He could have his own teaching tape just on his feet.
Doesn't dance as well as Cruz, though.
I don't know. You've never seen him dance.
All right, folks, that'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff live here on Giants.com. Once again, Monday to Friday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time. We are always here to talk Giants football with you. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. So long, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.